Today we have our first Sunday with John the Baptist this Advent. We will hear from him again next Sunday. We've not yet seen his explosive passion for God, which caused him to address the crowd as a brood of vipers. That's coming up. So not to get ahead of ourselves, we'll deal with that next week, and also some of the very specific instructions from John the Baptist about sharing with others what we term social justice these days. Today's readings encourage us to prepare ourselves by listening to the prophets who were inspired by God to imagine and describe God's power to transform the world. They did so from a particular place and a specific time. They were invited by God to consider God's promises and God's salvation from the only perspective they could, their own. Are we not the same? Do we not struggle to see God's vision for our world from our circumstances, which gives us a certain perspective when we're being overwhelmed, for example, by violence in the world? It can be hard to imagine God's kingdom coming, God's reign on earth. What can we learn from Malachi about preparing to welcome God into our lives in a way that gives focus to the question, what does God coming into my life and into the world mean to me? What does it promise? When inspired to write of God's power to transform the world and God's coming salvation, the one or those who wrote what we now call the book of Malachi asked, who can withstand such transformation? Who can withstand the day of his coming, of God's arrival? Who among us is truly ready for the salvation and transformation of the world? Are we prepared for our own transformation? Do we need to prepare? Malachi was most likely speaking to people who had returned from exile and rebuilt the temple. They were people living in a time of restoration, but not seeing the fullness of God's power among them as had been hoped. As one commentator notes, the people had hoped that through the great events of returning from exile and rebuilding the temple, God would move all of history so that Israel and Jerusalem could be the center of world events, which was meant to be the new salvation for all. Malachi was written when the rebuilt Jerusalem with its temple was beginning to look more like, quote, a backwater town than the cosmic center of the universe where nations were destined to meet. In a similar way, we might say that Christianity is beginning to look a little bit like a backwater town, rather than the center of events, when we consider all the culture around us and the place of the church and Christianity in our world today. Advent gives us time to think about what the salvation we now experience in Christ means. Advent gives us time to think about what God coming to us now in this time and place in our lives can mean and what we hope it will mean. This is another way of saying Advent is a time of preparing to celebrate Christmas once again. We are preparing for a celebration of great joy that God did come among us through the incarnation, through Jesus, whom we call the Christ, the Messiah, to be our Savior. But are we not like the people to whom Malachi spoke, people living after the promised gift of God, the return from exile, Jesus coming to us, being that for us in many ways? One of two things can happen as a negative result of living after the promise, and I'm speaking solely of Christianity here, and these are, of course, extremes. First, many Christians throughout history have thought that Christianity would become the center of life, that nations would find salvation in it. And it caused them to do some pretty horrific things, such as the Crusades. They were so sure. They'd taken the Christian message and made it their own, but in doing so, they transformed it for their own purposes. But more often, especially in our time, there's a tendency, I think, to think too little of the Christian faith. This is the sort of thinking that causes one to care about what Starbucks does or does not do with its holiday cups, right? And if you're not aware of this issue, if you're not on Facebook seeing it like I did, apparently in the past, Starbucks might have had some snowflakes or maybe a reindeer on their holiday cups, and they took it all away this year and they're just red, and somehow this is a threat to Christianity. It's just crazy, and it really diminishes what we're all about. What can we learn from Malachi about this? Malachi provides a context for exploring what it means to wait and prepare for God when the routine threatens to extinguish visions of salvation. The first advent of God for Christians, the coming of Jesus into the world, had a long period of preparation. We hear about it through the prophets who called people to repentance and to prepare the way for God's salvation. Malachi was one such messenger, his name meaning messenger, who spoke of the one who comes like a refiner's fire. And who can withstand the appearance of the Lord who comes to refine with fire? Unlike the street corner self-proclaimed prophets of modern times, our ancient texts have a balance of God's judgment and God's ability to purify, which is to say, to purify that which is and those whom are not yet perfect, which is pretty much everything and everyone. Jennifer Ayers notes that a silversmith knows that the refining process is complete only when she observes her own image reflected in the mirror-like surface of the metal. If this is the case, does the prophet also suggest that the imago Dei, the image of God, is restored in this process? Is humanity redeemed and deemed good and righteous when once again the divine image is reflected in the human heart? How does Christ want to be born in our hearts this Christmas? We are invited to prepare for Christmas spiritually every year, and every year it can be a new experience, because while God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we change. How can we prepare to welcome the Christ child? How can we, as the introit said, make a manger in our hearts? How can we prepare ourselves to welcome the salvation that Christmas offers us this year? The story of John the Baptist is also set in a particular time and place. Political rulers are named to make the point that John's message and Jesus coming into the public forum was happening in particular circumstances that influenced how people understood themselves and the world. But into that structured, unfair world, this crazy man, John, actually believed God was going to do a new thing, that God was breaking in, changing the story. And so John told people to repent and prepare. For those of you who grew up Catholic, and others who were in religious communities that spoke a lot about sin and the need for repentance, you know that even the word repent can make you want to turn off, right? That it's hard to hear some of this language, and that it can do more harm than good. And Advent itself, you may know, used to be called Little Lent in the Episcopal Church, maybe in other churches, because it had a very penitential feel. But not so anymore. We've really changed our theology around that, and Advent is its own thing. And so I want to consider repentance and preparing in a different way. I invite you to consider how you might prepare your heart for Christmas this year, for Christ to be born anew for you in a way that makes a difference. We can prepare by taking some quiet time during this busy season to think about our lives. Perhaps think about what has happened for us, to us, with us in the last year. What are the great things that you want to bring to the baby Jesus as a gift? What do you want to place in the manger of your heart for him to receive? What do you want to share with God? What are the things that have been difficult? How can Jesus be born for you this year in a way that heals and binds up what is disconnected? Perhaps think about your great hopes for our world, even our church, our city, communities to which you belong. Invite Christ to be born anew for you around these hopes and dreams. Prepare for that. Imagine, just imagine, with all the prophets and John the Baptist, imagine perhaps using our readings from today. Imagine what God can do being born anew. Amen.